Why won't people, you know, ordinary unbelievers, why won't people trust in the Lord Jesus? That's the underlying question to this morning's message. Why won't people trust in the Lord Jesus? Last week we were looking at God's love. We focused on verses 16 to 18. Predominantly verse 16, that wonderful summary of the whole of the gospel, the whole of the Bible really, but the whole of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so we looked at, for example, the intensity of God's love. We looked at the scope of God's love, the value of God's love, the range of God's love, and the purpose of God's love. God is a saving God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, wasn't sent to condemn the world, we're told there, but verse 17, to save the world through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's where we left off last week, looking at God's love, using those five headings to expound verse 16 and to allow us to emphasize this incredible, this remarkable love of God. We were singing it earlier. Oh, love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. Isn't the love of God wonderful? This precious love, a love which he shows us in many ways. Every day, really, is a gift of love. But this precious love we have been looking at here in chapter 3 is it's best seen in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus agreeing to the will of the Father, him agreeing to become a substitute for us. In the Lord Jesus humbling himself and dying for sinners on the cross. In him living our life for us. In him dying our death for us. This amazing love, this saving love, can only be realized through faith in Jesus Christ. This free salvation we've been singing of, it is only found only in the name of Jesus Christ. And therefore, why wouldn't someone believe in this name and be saved? Why would someone, in hearing about this great love of God for them, why would they still then reject it? Walk away from Jesus, walk away and live the rest of their life, seemingly satisfied without Jesus. That's what we're looking at this morning. Last week our focus was on God's love. This week our focus is on the world's love, or mankind's love. And so our focus is in verses 19 to 21. First of all, the question I want us to consider is, why does an unbeliever instinctively prefer the darkness? What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus, in those three verses, 19 to 21, he illustrates for us why people reject him. Why your friends and your family reject Jesus. Why maybe even you this morning yourself, you're staying away from Jesus. Did you know you can do that? Did you know that you can come to a church and still stay away from Jesus? Did you know that? Because the heart is desperately wicked and always is looking to deceive us into thinking we are right with God, when actually we're not. Someone even this morning could be here this morning and still rejecting Jesus, not wholly accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus illustrates why that is, how that is. And he begins there in verse 19 with those words, "This is the verdict." Now, what does Jesus mean by saying that? "This is the verdict." Well, he's referring back to verse 18. He's referring back to the condemnation, the already condemnation, the judgment already passed on those who don't believe in the name of Jesus. That judgment already given is for this reason, for this fact. This is the verdict why people won't believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because they love their darkness. They love all the sinful things they do in their darkness. That is why they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've just jumped in here to a few verses. We need to bear in mind the context in which Jesus is speaking here. We presume he is still speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee, a leading religious teacher in Israel, and yet he is spiritually in the dark. He is spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, spiritually mute, spiritually dead. A great religious teacher, and yet clueless about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Nicodemus who heard Jesus say to him, "Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." In other words, unless you are spiritually made alive by the Holy Spirit, then it's impossible for you, Nicodemus, to recognize or so then to enter in to God's kingdom. So Jesus illustrates why someone wouldn't come into his kingdom. He doesn't explain everything here to us in those verses. He doesn't explain, for example, how someone actually moves from loving darkness to loving light. But what Jesus does do is to show us why it is that Nicodemus and others back then, and actually why people still today, why they instinctively reject Jesus and the salvation that he freely offers them. Why? Well, because in their darkness, people prefer to remain in their sin rather than be saved from their sin. People prefer to remain in their sin rather than be saved from their sin. In their spiritual darkness and in their love, in their preference of their darkness, they are oblivious to how they truly are before God. They're oblivious to the danger they're already in. They're ignorant of the benefit of trusting in Jesus. If only they would believe. I remember not long having come to faith in Jesus Christ, I remember walking down into town with a work colleague and talking to him about Jesus. I was wanting to share my faith with him. And I remember him asking me this, "Do I have to give anything up? I wouldn't want to become a Christian if I had to change anything." You see, here was a young man living with his girlfriend outside of marriage, of course. And in his darkness, rather than see the worth of salvation that is free, that is rich, that is found in Jesus Christ, all he could see was to him the greater worth of him remaining in sin, of him still sleeping with his girlfriend, still living his life as he wanted to live it. That was more valuable to him than the value that there is in Jesus Christ. And so he was, as it were, trapped. He was trapped because that's all he wanted. This preciousness of his girlfriend and all that meant to him meant more to him than knowing Jesus Christ. It reminds me in studying for this morning of that old illustration of the monkey trap. Don't know if you've heard of this before. Apparently, when you wanted to trap a monkey, you would put a shiny coin inside, like a coconut shell or something like that, and tie it to a tree or tie it to a peg in the ground. And along comes the monkey and sees the shiny coin inside the coconut shell, puts its hand in and clasps it, its hand becomes a fist, and it can't get its hand back out again. It can't get free. And of course, it won't let go of the shiny coin. It won't. It's as though if only it had the sense to realize the greater worth of its freedom, it would let it go and be free. But it can't. So it's caught. And that's how it is with the unbeliever, still in their spiritual darkness. They're stupid. I say that not wanting to offend anyone, but that's the spiritual reality. The fall, sin has so affected their reasoning, they are stupid. They would rather hold on to their shiny coin, their sin, whatever that may be, rather than let it go and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus tells us in verse 19 that light has come into the world. That's what we celebrate every Christmas, isn't it? That this one who says in chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. We celebrate that in this world of darkness, in this world of deception, of false and error and heresy and all these other things, the Lord Jesus has come as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light of the world. He is the brightest revelation of who God is. And so when we look at Jesus in Scripture, as we see Him there in the pages of Scripture, He gives us the clearest understanding of who God is, of what God is. But people still reject Him. You know how, I don't know if you see it nowadays, but certainly during the summer, you know, moths love to fly around the lights. I don't know if moths still hang around in autumn and winter time. I haven't seen any. But certainly during the summer, if you put a light outside, the moths love, they seem drawn to the light. Unbelievers act the opposite to a moth. They get away from the light. They don't want to be anywhere near that light. They get away from it as far as possible. Why? Because they prefer their little shiny coins. They know, or at least they sense, that the closer they get to Jesus, the more uncomfortable they feel, the more naked they feel before Him. They sense a greater conviction of guilt for some of the things they do. It's as though Jesus is speaking right into their life, into their circumstances, and calling them out from that. So can I ask you this morning, what are your coins? What are your shiny coins this morning? What is it that you're holding on to this morning? What is it that you're trapped in this morning that's keeping you from wholly accepting Christ as your Savior? Is it your pride? Is it the reputation you have here in town? I mean, what would your family and friends think? What would the club you attend think if they found out that you had now accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And so that's why you won't fully embrace Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a particular person. It's like my friend all those years ago. It's a boyfriend. Or a girlfriend, but it's someone who you feel, you believe, if I give my life to Jesus Christ, I'll lose them. I'll lose them, and I don't want to lose my new boyfriend or my new girlfriend, and so I'd rather have them than Jesus. And so you reject Jesus again. Maybe it's your sexuality. You see yourself as gay. That's how you would define yourself this morning. That's how you see yourself and how you want others to see you as, I'm gay and that's that. And you know that if giving your life to Jesus means turning your back on your gay lifestyle, then you want nothing to do with Jesus. In some ways, we all have a shiny coin. It's in our pocket somewhere. Whatever that is, though, that people have this morning, in their darkness, people prefer that than to being saved. They prefer, in effect, to live in opposition and rejection of God rather than turning to Him and submitting to Him, turning and realizing His love for them, turning and fully embracing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so in their darkness, they have no true concern for their soul. They have no real concern that one day, and maybe sooner than later, but one day they will stand before God and they will fully sense their nakedness without Jesus Christ. They will fully sense their guilt without Jesus Christ. And it will be too late. Is that you this morning? Is it? Are you really telling me that you're prepared to stand before God without Jesus Christ, and therefore to spend the entirety of eternity endlessly experiencing God's judgment, when today you could be saved? Today you could know your sins forgiven and have that freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. Secondly, my question is, why do believers now prefer the light? Because this is the alternative to living in the dark. You see in verse 21, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So there's clearly a contrast there, isn't there? With the unbeliever who loves the darkness because in their darkness their sins are hidden, their conscience isn't aroused or anything like that. But then we have someone here who comes into the light. It's like the plant that you put on your windowsill and it instinctively turns to the sunlight. Young sunflowers, apparently, when you film them very slow or very quickly, I'm not sure, you know, like a picture frame every 20 minutes or whatever, it shows the sunflower head turning from east to west as the sun goes across. When the sun goes down, their heads turn back, apparently, waiting for the sun to come up again so that they get the fullness of the sun in their face. Believers do that, spiritually speaking. They turn to the light, to the source of this light. They turn fully towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and they embrace Him. That's how a true Christian is. That's how a true follower of Jesus is. They hate sin, especially their own sin. They increasingly hate their sin. Do they ever sin? Of course. Of course they do. That's why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray for our forgiveness. But they don't maintain their sin. And they don't hide their sin. They don't withdraw from God and go and immerse themselves even more so in their darkness and in their sin. But with the strength of God's grace, they come to the light day by day. They come to Jesus Christ again and again. They come humbly. They come contrite. They come to Jesus trusting in the promises of God that if we confess our sins, God is just and He will forgive us our sins and purify us. In fact, John tells us that a true follower of Jesus Christ will walk in the light. They'll spend their life, whatever that may be, but that person will live out their life according to God's word. They'll live it out happily obeying God's word, happily coming into the light, coming into the exposure of the Lord Jesus and His word, because now they know Him. They have tasted Him, and they can say He is good. I know this love now myself. And now I want to know him more and more. Jesus tells us in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, in verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And later on, when John writes his first letter, probably reflecting what Jesus says, he writes this, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. So there's clearly a change, isn't there, from someone who wanted to get away from the light to someone who now wants to walk in the light. As we close then, how does that happen? How does that change happen? I hope you're wanting to know. How does someone change to now want to walk in the light? How does someone who presently, even this morning, who would prefer the darkness, who would prefer their sin, and who is clasping tight to their shiny coin of sin, how does that person change to let go and now want to walk with God in the light of his word and be known as someone who is following Jesus Christ? How does that happen? The answer is in Jesus. I know it sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? You're to come to the one you don't want to come to. But that's the answer. He's able to break you free. He's able to set you free from whatever sin you may be feeling trapped in this morning. He's able to satisfy you more than any other relationship could. He's able to give you an identity that's even stronger than how your sexuality may seem strong this morning. He is able. So friends, come to Jesus. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. With the strength that God gives to sinners to come, let me say to you, come and see this Jesus for yourself. Come and experience this love we've been looking at for yourself. With the help of God, come and see this Jesus. And God will give you the strength to do that. He'll give you the conviction. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll renew your mind. He'll straighten out your thinking over time. He'll do it. And he'll give you the courage to let go of those things which today are dominating your life. Come to Jesus. Repent. Do you know what that word means? Turn from your sins. Let go of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to his saving care of you for this world and for all of eternity. He loves you. He died for you on that cross. He paid the price, the death penalty for all your sin. He is able to hold you. He is able to keep you. He is able to free you from whatever sense of bondage, whatever sense of trap you may feel yourself in this morning. As I was thinking of this darkness, as I was thinking of this seemingly inability to let go of sins, a hymn in our praise hymn book came to my mind. It's written by William Matson, a 19th century minister. I'll just read a couple of verses from his hymn. He says, Lord, I was dead. I could not move my lifeless soul from sin's dark grave. But now the power of life you gave has raised me up to know your love. Lord, I was deaf. I could not hear the thrilling music of your voice. But now I hear you and rejoice, and all your spoken words are clear. Friends, If you sense the Lord speaking to your heart today, do not harden your heart to Him. Do not turn from Him further and draw even deeper into your darkness and sin. But with His help, turn to the Lord Jesus. Accept Him by faith. For God is able to rescue you, as Paul writes in Colossians 1:13, able to rescue you from the kingdom of darkness and transfer you over to the kingdom of His dear Son, who died to purchase your freedom. May God help you. I know He will help you. But will you turn? Please, will you turn and accept Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You again for today.